to the Daily Review. I'm Brad Munson, and hey, I don't really want to do this, but I feel compelled to say something about the new Walking Dead miniseries, The Ones Who Live, because I am, after all, like it or not, the self-proclaimed king of the zombies. I never really intended to spend so much time year after year on The Rising Dead. No, seriously, I mean, prior to about, 2015 or so, I was a big horror fan, sure, but zombies were just, one page on the menu, right? Then, the folks running Permuted Press at the time, who had already published some of my other horror stuff, asked me if I'd like to continue the classic trilogy of the undead, The Morningstar Strain, by the late Z.A. Recht, with a fourth through a sixth book. And over the next few years, with the absolutely invaluable help of Don Peters, that happened. Healers, Hunted, and Heroes. At the time, Permuted was all about zombies, all the time, and I helped them market a bunch of other books, as well as writing a couple others for them. I even helped start a whole separate line of books for them, with even more zombies. And suddenly, bada bing, bada boom, I'm the expert. There, can you see those air quotes? Expert. Sometime after that came the Zombie Gift Guide, which, don't buy the one that you can still find online, we're doing a new one this fall, as well as zombiegiftguide.com, which is still in their pigeon, and the home of all things undead, zombieworld.net. And, yes, I'm working on another epical zombie novel of my own, and no, I'm not telling you even the name of it until I have a big pile of money right here, right in front of me. But all this has led me to reading far more zombie lit and watching way, way too many zombie movies and TV shows, good and bad, and writing about and reviewing all of that over the last few years. Which leads us, roundabout-wise, back here to The Walking Dead TV series, now ended, and its various spin-offs, like Daryl Dixon and Dead City, both of which I talked about, some might say to excess, over at zombieworld.net with my good friend Samantha Luck. So yes, yes, I know far too much about the subgenre, and I have strong opinions about all of it, including our latest entry, the long-awaited Those Who Live, with the re-arrival of Rick Grimes and Michonne. And boy, boy, do I wish I could say that I loved it or even liked it. I really do. But, look, there is no doubt, none, that all of the actors involved are great. Both in the broadest, most brutal physical moments and in the quiet, most subtle interludes, both of which are damn difficult. And both Rick and Michonne are right in there, and they're damn near brilliant, and the chemistry between them is just amazing. That's all true. That's undeniable. But the overarching problem that The Walking Dead and the TV shows, far more than Robert Kirkman's original comics, or even those books that grew out of that, have always had a problem with is storytelling in general, and pacing in particular. And that has led these really terrific actors from all of the incarnations down some nasty rabbit holes and into some very dark, very dead ends. And here we are again. To be fair, telling a complete and effective story in the first episode would have been very difficult under any circumstances. I mean, it's been years in real time and in Walking Dead's timeline since Rick Grimes got blown up real good back in, season 7, 6 of the original show. I mean, of course, you'd expect some flashbacks, some quick jumps, some scribble, fill in the blanks here, no matter what. But that's the whole damn first hour of this thing. Just lame-ass backstory, telling, not showing, so much that we barely see Michonne at all until the very end. And it looks as if next week we'll see Michonne in a multi-year backstory to get her up to this same point, thereby cutting the ongoing story of Rick and Michonne to 4 hours from 6, a quarter of the whole series spent strictly on prep. Now, that's the first problem. But the second problem is the story that we're told. And sorry, I should have said this right at the outset. Hey, spoiler alert, go watch episode 1 now if you intend to watch it at all, and then come on back. Or be prepared to know too much when you do watch it. Anyway, here we get this whole elaborate backstory about the CRM, the Civil Republic Military, stitching together hints that have been dropped in later seasons of many of the shows, actually, about this alliance of three surviving cities, which we now know are Omaha, Nebraska, Portland, Oregon, and a secret city, which is pretty obviously Philadelphia. Secret city? Why? And equally important, how? As as we can see in this episode, it's right out there in the open. It's not at the top of some big old snowy mountain or hiding in a fog-shrouded valley. It's friggin' Philadelphia, man. Rotting skyscrapers and all. And we're like, what, a dozen years past the outbreak and the fall of civilization at this point? You don't think a number of survivors over the years might have strolled by, seen Philly up there with the big old windmills and even electricity and stuff? I mean, and you have to assume it would be lit up at night, right? Getting along quite happily. Wouldn't at least some of those wanderers wander away and tell the rest of the world? Are we supposed to believe that the CRM has intercepted and killed every single one of these folks to keep their secret? And that there's not a single person in their population of 100,000, that's the number that they give us, that out of that entire population, not a single person wanted to escape and successfully did so? Not one? And then, of course, why bother? How much of your limited military ordnance and trained personnel, almost all of which is irreplaceable in a post-zombie world, mind you, where you can barely manage to keep making new bullets, how many of those resources are you going to waste on keeping a secret you don't need to keep? You think Omaha and Portland don't really know where you are? I mean, come on. And past that, it said flat out in part of this flashback that the U.S. military, back in the early days of the outbreak, sent bombers out to blow up various infected American cities. Whether it was with massive conventional bombs or tactical nukes, it's not clear. And when one of their pilots defied them, saved Philly instead of destroying it, the U.S. military just, what, collapsed? Gave up? Faded away? Because shortly thereafter, the CRM out of Philadelphia's National Guard, became the largest remaining military organization in the remains of North America. What? How? Where did the U.S. military go? Where did all the other governments go? How did that happen? And then, what does the CRM do? They spend literally years in self-imposed isolation. Not reclaiming territory from the walkers, who they call Delts in CRM land. Not rebuilding technologies or creating new weapons to kill off the walking dead in greater numbers. No. Instead, they create a slave class of the limited supply of living people who live outside the walls of the city and who are forced to find food or salvage for 6 years before they're even allowed inside the walls. As if living humans are a dime a dozen and would never rebel. Nah. Especially Americans. Yes, the CRM, under the duress of one annoyingly self-satisfied major, addresses the threat from the outside world of survivors by regularly tracking down the living, identifying the ones who could particularly build and lead rival forces, and kills them off. Not recruit them, not subvert them, not build a larger alliance of city-states, but just kill them off. Killing the leaders in the womb, as it were. And doing a piss-poor job of it, by the way, since we've seen groups like the Governor and the leaders of Alexandria and Padre and even the Sanctuary and now the Crow out in New York all building nice big groups of their own without the CRM and their nifty black helicopters and bombers anywhere around for years on end now. Now, no matter how much detail they put into this backstory, it just doesn't make any sense in the timeline. But we work our way through 47 minutes of being told about it, nonetheless. We even get to see Rick Grimes give up entirely after an unclear number of years, seeing him just walk away from his dreams of escape and reunion with Michonne, even after he's literally cut off a limb to get there. He just gives it up and takes on the role of leadership, learns to fly a plane, apparently, sees it attacked and crashes it, only to find himself literally falling right into the arms of Michonne. And that's the last scene of this first episode. But really, seriously, the huge, groaning, rickety, painful coincidence of Rick and Michonne running into each other, not finding each other, not on purpose, just by accident, meeting on the battlefield after Rick's CRM plane is attacked and hits the ground. No act of courage. No final, not even bittersweet, triumph of finally fulfilling his dream. No, just happenstance. Which cheapens the whole premise of these two incredibly motivated and powerful characters, who up till now have moved heaven and earth to finally be reunited. Because in this case, they weren't. They didn't. It just happened. Okay, enough. I admit I'm disappointed, but I'm not surprised. The Walking Dead has subsisted on great acting and not much else for years now, and we've already seen the same problems in both world-building and simple storytelling in the newer spinoffs like Daryl Dixon and Dead City, not to mention the final seasons of both Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead. So like I said, it's not a shock, but God damn it, I was hoping for something more, something better. And yes, I'll watch the next 5 episodes, and I'll probably continue to rant about them here, since they are the best known, not the best, just the best known franchise in the zombie subculture, at least this side of the far superior The Last of Us. Because I am, after all, obligated, what with being the self-appointed king of the zombies and all. Go on, get out of here, you're bothering me. I'll see you tomorrow for something entirely different, not about shambling or sprinting reanimated corpses, I promise. Right here on the Daily Review.
And that's it for today's Daily Review. I'm here with something new every day, Monday through Friday, every damn week, so come on back whenever you can stand it. There are links to what we've been talking about in the show notes and in the accompanying blog on thebradmunson.com. Take a look, and please do all the normal stuff like rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or any podcatcher of your choice. Tell your friends, invite your mom, you know, spread the word, and let me know what you think. You can also follow me for more and different stuff on Instagram or Threads at TheBradMunson and on my website, weirdly enough called TheBradMunson.com. So until next time, I'm Brad Munson, and that's The Daily Review.